for great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. Kate Shimarani on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Happy Saturday, folks. It is me, your natural nurse in a toxic world. And by now, if you're with us in the UK and all over Europe, you should have already been outside grounding yourself on the earth. You should have had your celery, ginger and lemon juice. Many of you should have already done your coffee enema. Yeah, that's right, folks. A litre of freshly brewed coffee rectally was used as painkillers and a detox before nasty old drugs came in. I still do one. I've done one. I'm feeling as clean as a whistle. People are saying, did you really just say that? Yes, I did. For you lot that are all going to sleep and you've had a good day, you should be thanking the Lord for the day that you've had, because many people don't get there. Well, can you believe it? It's the 9th of March already. And you are in the Natural Nurse Army. And for my viewer out there, yes, okay, you're in the Natural Nurse Navy. And that's great. I'm just grateful that we've got a seaman on board. Us ladies like seamen. None of the Captain Pugwash jokes. Some of you Brits will know what that is. Well, look, it is the 9th of March and tyranny does continue. We have the pint-sized Prime Minister that nobody voted in the UK, who did a Kim Jong-un cavalcade down Whitehall with fat cops running behind him looking like they were about to have a coronary. We do have an obesity crisis, but don't worry, they've got another drug coming to sort out your obesity. It's going to wreck all your other organs, but you can take this pharma drug. Well, I just want to let people know that one of the things that's used always in such times, actually, you don't need me to tell you, right? You know, I'm preaching to the converted here. Hopefully you can drag somebody to see my beautiful physog, 58 years old and looking hot. That this is nothing new, but they used propaganda. I can see Dr. Thomas Binder on screen, folks. I don't know whether you can yet, but when I said my fabulous physog, he smiled. So he's clearly in agreement. But anyway, you are what you eat. Today's food becomes tomorrow's cells, and no amount of exercise or pharmaceutical drugs are an offset for a poor diet. Propaganda. They have hit us with propaganda. The Nazis used it. Listen, they use it all through history. Remember, the devil never changes the script. The Jonathan Van Tam study, you know, that bloke that was behind it all, and then he's now gone to work for one of these big pharma giants. His estimate was 100 times, his death rate was 100 times greater than the actual death rate. That's the propaganda. And that was used. You listened to me talking to the wonderful nurse, Gail McRae in America. That was the propaganda they used on all of the medics, the people, everybody, that for those who didn't use their God-given eyes to see and ears to hear, believed it. It's a bit like, let me tell you, it's what I use in natural medicine. It's where doctors and nurses will look at the scan results and the blood results when this poor patient has been hammered with mustard gas. Let's say mustard gas, because that's what chemotherapy is. And they go, oh, look, it's working. Their tumor's shrinking. And the poor patient in the bed is now looking like a wax dummy. All the Mr. Vitality's left the show long ago, and the patient's dying or does die. But because the tumor shrank on the scan, they say the drug is a success. So after a while, some of those doctors and nurses, and my first guest today, who was very quick off the hockey, as we say in the UK, they started to go, well, hang on a minute. I'm not seeing all these dead bodies. I'm not seeing this, any evidence of a pandemic. I mean, I was out in the February before any of it and said, this is all a lie, because I've been following Ebola, Tamiflu, Donald Rumsfeld, Twin Towers, you name it. My conspiracy hat was the size of a Stetson, my tinfoil hat. But they followed this. And then people started to say, well, I'm not seeing the deaths. I'm not seeing the deaths. But they were expected to believe the propaganda, the war machine, because this is an information war. And it's just not true. None of it's true. Now, listen, what I'm saying to you now is for information purposes only. It's for entertainment. You can cartwheel around your living room, kitchen, whatever you want to do. And if you're listening to me in the morning as the Natural Nurse Army and you're juicing, As I keep telling you fellas, you should be pole vaulting out the bed in the morning. Erectile dysfunction is something that is, it's just not here anymore when you're in the natural nurse army. It's gone because you're healthy. And you women are sitting on your biological vaginas that work right up until you die because you're healthy. But for the rest of you who want to listen to your indoctrinated quacks, please feel free to do so. Fill your boots with prescription medication and know this, not one of them has a lethal dose of zero. None of them. That means even your delightful paracetamol will kill you. Actually, you only need 8. But I've got a guest on today and he's going to tell us, because he's been there right from the beginning, a cardiologist for the first half of the show. And one of the things that I always say, nothing frightens me, and it really doesn't. It doesn't. Being arrested, having my house raided, being chased down Whitehall by 400 cops, actually just being chased by 400 men was quite delightful. But, and the odd fat woman, but mental health. I'm going to say this. It used to be that you needed 3 psychiatrists to section you under the Mental Health Act, and then you got reassessed at 6 weeks, and you could appeal against the medication that they would force upon you. And in 2019, there was 16,000 appeals and 9,000 were upheld. Immediately with the plandemic, scandemic, they changed that to you only needed 1 doctor. You don't get reassessed at 6 weeks and you can't appeal against your forced medication. They use this all through history to shut people up. And I can tell you, because many of you have followed, I'll tell you more in the second half about my daughter. What you think is the health service is not. It's a bit of it's the National Homicide Service in the UK, and they'll pull everything out of the book. And then they have the Tufty Club cops who'll back them up just because they say, I'm a doctor. And you know what I say when people say I'm a doctor? I go, no one cares. No one cares. Pimps and assassins. But that Mental Health Act is very frightening. Now, my first guest is a wonderful cardiologist. I'm going to let him tell you everything he's done because he's been out right from the beginning. But he literally got thrown in that asylum. And that's what they're called. And they used all of this at him. And when I read about it, it was the one thing that made my mouth go a little bit dry. Because when I did my nurse training, I was at a hospital called Gatlock in Scotland, and there were patients in there in their 70s and 80s. And when you read some of their notes, they'd been on Lagactyl for decades, which is a major tranquilizer. But some of their notes, the only reason that they were sectioned under the Mental Health Act and became institutionalized because they had learning disabilities or they were promiscuous. And they had a child out of wedlock. One bloke had been caught a couple of times by the police having a pee up an alley, and he wasn't very bright, so they bunged him in a mental health hospital, and he was still there in his 70s. And then all of a sudden, to save money, they kicked them all out into the community. But they're all given drugs, and they're not allowed to say no to them. It's terrifying. And I'd like to welcome my guest, Dr. Thomas Binder.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
It's a great honor. You have been very, very, very active. And I know that you've got a lot to talk about. So I always do my intro and I don't want to rabbit on because I've generally, you know, people are now having a cup of coffee with a dry mouth. But I don't want to upset everybody because it is a beautiful world and we've already won. History tells you that. It just goes round and round and round again. But some of us get slapped legs. Some of us get even worse than a slapped backside and slapped legs. Tell us about, you know, your dice with COVID. What brought you to the attention of the authorities?
Maybe I may introduce myself a little bit.
Absolutely. Do all of it because it's I can't do you justice.
Who I am.
You've been on TNT and I, you know what I don't like? I don't like doing the best man speech at the wedding. You know, where you have to stand up and say how you know this person. Because of course, when I see doctors, I have no respect at all. But then there's the handful of doctors like yourself who have, I love that you on your bio. you more or less have said, it's our duty to use that what we've learned, that what we know to be true, and to get out there and speak the truth. You've actually said it, at whatever cost, it is our duty to humankind to do it. Basically, in a nutshell, that for me supersedes any qualifications you've got. I mean, if you were single, I'd be over there. That tells me that's a man of honor. So please go ahead. The floor's yours.
Thanks. Well, I studied medicine in Zurich, Switzerland. Then I didn't know whether I should go into research or into clinic. So I spent a year in the department of immunology and virology. I wrote my thesis there. So I have an education on this field. Then I decided to care. I want to care for people. So I became a clinician. I specialized first in internal medicine, then in cardiology. I spent 10 years in hospitals. And since 26 years, I've been working in my private practice as a cardiologist and somewhat also internist for my cardiology patients in Wettingen. That's also near Zurich in Switzerland. Yeah, as you said, the modern version of the Hippocratic Oath is the declaration of the World Medical Association from Geneva. And one important sentence is, I will not use my medical knowledge to violate civil liberties and human rights, even under threat. Even under threat. Yeah, well, it started in January. I saw these in January 2020, of course. I saw these pictures and videos from Wuhan, these hordes running around in these penguin suits, cannons spraying allegedly disinfectants in the air, people dying suddenly in the streets. And when you watched these YouTube videos, you saw they were always landing on their hands. So this was all fake. And of course, these pictures, these videos were not directed against the virus, but against the observer. And then I thought, oh my God, what swine flu scam 2.0 is coming now? And then there was silence for a month or so. And a month later, I woke up in the morning and they said, now the virus is in Bergamo, Italy, Northern Italy. That's close, 50 kilometers from Swiss border where I live. Everybody thought, my God, now the virus is here. And at the same time, we got the messages from Wuhan that the Chinese in their heroic war against the virus won. So obviously, almost everybody thought, well, we have to do exactly the same as the Chinese did. Forget everything we had learned about medicine, epidemiology, immunology, etc., and do exactly the same stuff that the Chinese did, namely install these unscientific authoritarian measures. And I immediately realized everything I had learned in medical school during my scientific education in my practical medical life was turned upside down overnight. I mean, whole prevailing corona narrative is utter unscientific nonsense from A, like no epidemiologically relevant asymptomatic transmission, to Z, like zero COVID. This is an absolute absurdity. Now there are some SARS-CoV-2 viruses in the air in my practice, of course, in an amount that I do not get sick and that I'm immune as well. Yeah, so
Thomas, Thomas, yeah? May I just say at this stage, I don't know whether you know who I am, but you know, I had a really aggressive and deadly cancer 12 years ago, and I refused chemo, radio, tamoxifen, Zoladex, and I'm alive and well today and cancer-free. And like you, you know, all my books are natural medicine. That was my wake-up call. And the thing is, it doesn't, I don't believe the germ theory or anything else anymore, nothing, because of what I've learned in 12 years. And I said the last part of my healing would be to teach others what I'd learned for myself. And this whole thing about, you know, these viruses, even mold, disease, everything, the one thing I've observed is it doesn't matter what is out there. If your body is healthy, and non-toxic. Nothing will get a grip on you. It's when you are toxic and you are deficient in vitamins, minerals, enzymes, which is the lifestyle that they have thrown at us for decades, you will get sick. And I think that's, you know, I think that's important that people are everything is through fear. They shouldn't be fearful. Their body should be their temple. And I think possibly, I think I'm right in saying, by the way you talk, you kind of already realize that as well. You know, we don't get sick like this. What they were telling us, you know, this virus waits, hides behind plexiglass, and it doesn't limbo under it. It doesn't go through the holes of a mask. It hangs about and waits for you coming out of your local pub because it only gets you at 10 p.m. I mean, it's preposterous, all of this, right? It is like a massive comedy sketch that would be funny if they weren't battering us with batons and making us criminals.
Yeah, well, it's the old debate between Pasteur and Bichon, whether the problem is the germ or the milieu, or in English better, the terrain. And of course, in this corona narrative, they completely forgot the terrain. And in my opinion, also the terrain is much more important than the virus. I mean, for sure, I have now some flu virus. We are still in the flu season. So there are some flu viruses, some other cold viruses, other coronaviruses, SARS-CoV-2 in my throat. But it doesn't make, they do not make me sick. They have not, my immune system does not give them the chance to replicate in a way to make me sick. I still believe in the germ theory, but in the last 4 years I learned we have to question everything, and I'm open to debate everything. Sometimes
can we just say we have to go to break for our sponsors, because TNT, really, we do need sponsors because it keeps us alive. And we're talking to Thomas Binder, and I'm going to shut my gob in the next half after our sponsors. And I'm going to forgive Dr. Binder. He can, you know, because he's been educated in that system. Whereas, you know me, folks, I don't believe in any of the bull crap anymore. I believe my body's my temple, my God-given right to walk in authority, and everything I needed he put here for me. Join us straight after the break, and Dr. Binder will be talking and I'll be shutting up.
TNT's Jeremy Nell.
Which of those two countries would have I wanted to have been in the COVID era? Neither. Neither.
Yeah, I like how people talk about China being so bad, but they forget about places like Canada and New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. And, you know, living in Auckland was the worst possible place in New Zealand to be, because that lady, I mean, for one COVID case, she shut down the entire country. And then it was like, just let's just shut down Auckland. And so we're just in a period of backwards and forwards. And do you know, the thing is, I guess if there was a mistake I made was to actually take them at their word.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT.
The Irish government is proposing a law known as the Hate Speech Bill that threatens free speech. This law could have dire consequences for our democracy.
Next month, and then on to the next week.
This law will have uncertain effects on artistic and musical expression. Please support us. It could stifle the activity of public campaigning on political and civil issues, and also curtail speech relating to topics about religion, ethnicity, sex, and gender.
You could even be jailed for possessing documents, cartoons, or memes on your devices, even if you never read them or intended on sharing them. Mere possession could make you a criminal under this law. Help stop this law. Visit www.freespeechireland.ie/take action to bin the hate speech bill.
We don't rock. We talk. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I'm Kate Shimarani for TNT Live, and you are listening to Medical Crimes in Tyrannical Times. We've been here before, and I'm sure we'll be here again, maybe not in my lifetime. because I'm a lot older than what I look. So you too could look like me if you're in the Natural Nurse Army. Well, even blokes can look like me now, and we've got to accept that they're women. No, they're not. I'm talking to Dr. Thomas Binder, who is an MD. He's come out. He's named it for what it is. He faced, for me, the worst that he could possibly face, where they put him into a mental institution. But he's continued. And one of the things that he has said is, you know, he's brought us back to the fact that doctors, as part of their oath, they no longer take the Hippocratic Oath in the UK, they don't. But one of their things is not to use what they have learned against the people. In other words, they're meant to always advocate for us. They do work for us. You've got to remember that. They're not idols. They're not idols. And he used everything that he's had and questioned everything. And that gives you a man, not just a doctor, a man with a very good moral compass. And I keep yakking. So we're going to go back to Dr. Binder, and he's going to continue to tell us all about what happened. So Dr. Binder, please continue, because I've already said, you know, you're saying you're open to debate the whole germ theory, terrain theory. But right now, you quite rightly said, we have to use the devil's tool against them. They've come at us with lies and tyranny, and we have laws in place. So we now have to use their own lies and their tyrannical views with no foundation back at them. Because remember, justice must prevail, and it must be done and be seen to be done. And history teaches us one thing. It always does. It always comes. We might not always get the top perpetrator, but for you little minions at the bottom doing the dirty work, the doctors and nurses, executing patients and calling it care, they're going to come for you. Look behind you and you'll see what happens. So Dr. Binder, please continue.
Yeah, so in March 2020, I realized that it is, of course, my duty to inform the public, as it is my duty to inform my patients about their medical condition in a way that lay people can understand and then decide how they want to proceed. I had to inform the public about this disease of the whole society in a way that lay people can understand, and to confront the myths of the government with the reality from my point of view, or at least with the other narrative, so that, of course, in a democracy, in a liberal democracy, the people then can decide who is right and who is wrong. I did nothing else. Everything I stated was 100% scientifically evidence-based. So I explained, of course, first I wrote emails to fellow doctors I knew, politicians I knew, journalists I knew, and I never got any answer. I wanted to inform them. So I went public in blogs, in Twitter, Facebook. I explained the whole nonsense narrative that I wrote about the wrong indication to test, the wrong test, highly likely there is no epidemiologically relevant asymptomatic transmission like in all other respiratory infections, that the case fatality rate of 2% is nonsense because of the great many number of not tested people, that the infection fatality rate is important, that is highly likely 100 times or so lower, so even below influenza, in the range of other coronaviruses, and about 0.02%, all this. And I never got any answer. And I wrote a huge blog on Thursday before Easter 2020, where I explained everything again, and it was clicked 20,000 times within 24 hours. So I thought, oh, well, this message goes out, it spreads exponentially, other fellow doctors will follow me. I wanted to go on holiday on Easter for a week, and I thought, well, when I will be back from holiday, this whole nonsense narrative will have crashed. But something else happened. At Easter Saturday, I did some final work in my practice before going on holiday. And at 10 o'clock, I was brutally arrested by an anti-terrorist squad, 20 policemen. Arrested me in this whole action operation. 60 policemen were involved. At the same time, they closed the train station opposite to my practice, and they protected the whole government of the province where I live in Switzerland. So 60 policemen were activated because of this well-known fundamentalist, radical terrorist, Dr. Thomas Binder. And the reason was, I must state that it was not directly the government that came after me, but a good acquaintance of mine whom I informed also by these emails and who read my blogs and etc. In the things I wrote, the stuff I wrote, he projected threats to the government, threats to the public. For example, I write this virus is less dangerous than influenza and things like this. And then he called another good acquaintance of mine, the prime minister of the province where I live in Switzerland. And in this phone call, he made three allegations. First, I would threaten. I was a threat. I was armed, and I had a psychiatric history. And then these two guys.
What a Judas! What a total Judas! And we all know what happened to Judas, don't we, people? If you don't know, he came to a very unsavory end. It's always those. It was, do you know, Dr. Binder? It was one of my close friends who I'd loaned money to, who I had supported for years, absolutely known her for years. And she was the one who went to the nursing council and told complete lies about me. No patients, but they can shove their registration up their rear end where the sun doesn't shine. Who wants to work for that lot that is taken over by the government since 2001? I just want to get that in, the nursing midwifery council. This is horrific. It's a betrayal. But what I found is, I bet, I'm just going to say this because I'm a woman and we're very emotive, that colleague, that good acquaintance of yours, was probably always envious of your moral compass, your judgment. This is the way it goes, because we are human beings and we are sinful. And what a dirty rotter. Well, you know what? For every act, there will be an equal and opposing act, and it will not end well for him. Always, we always know this, Judas ratbag. Anyway, do continue. I'm a woman. I have to get that in.
Yes, well, I obviously was a threat to the prevailing narrative. And those two guys who both have my handy number stored on their handy did not decide to call me. Hey, Thomas, you write things we cannot understand. And I would have answered, well, okay, let's meet for a corona and I can explain you everything, answer all your questions. No, they decided I must be insane and a threat to the public, maybe to myself as well. So they called the chief of the police in the province where I live, the Canton Aargau in Switzerland. And he started this whole operation. Well, after an hour, they realized all three allegations were wrong. They could not find any threat in all my texts, nothing at all. Everybody was formulated kindly and evidence-based. I was not armed. My arm was my gun I got in 1980 when I entered Swiss military service. And when I left it as a prime lieutenant 15 years ago, I kept this gun stored at home without ammunition. This is normal and absolutely legal in Switzerland. And I didn't carry this arm on me. It was stored at home where it was stored for 15 years. And I never had a psychiatric history. So in normal conditions, they would have had to apologize, send me home, and maybe compensate me for this. But they didn't find a way out. It was obviously false alarm. I mean, 60 policemen, maybe this cost half a million or a million and so. Imagine 60 policemen working on Saturday, Easter Saturday, day and night. And so they decided to send me a fellow doctor, emergency doctor, and she had to check my mental status, especially my ability to be imprisoned. Although they could not even issue an arrest warrant because I did not something unlawful. So this was completely insane. And you must imagine at that time this doctor wore a hardcore FFP2 mask, and when I entered the room, she said, "Put on the mask, the virus, the virus." So this colleague had to check my mental status, and Well, the first question was, what is the date? I said April 11th, 2020. Maybe the third question was, what is the current year? And then there was some silent protest. I answered 1984, and it went on like this. And she decided, I am Corona insane. She invented this new diagnosis. And insanity, insane people alone can still be kind people. If for involuntary commitment, you must also be a danger to others or to yourself. So she decided, as I obviously was not a danger to others, I was self-endangering. Although in Twitter, I wrote 2-3 days before, something like, I'm 58 years old, sporty, on no medication, and would never ever commit suicide. That's how I spent the first 36 hours in the padded cell. And then after 36 hours, for the first time, I saw there was an interrogation, and I saw for the first time my lawyer. This also was unlawful. I should have be allowed to see my lawyer just from the very start. And then a psychiatrist decided I would suffer from mania. I was maybe some kind of hyperactive, because I thought, well, this information must spread exponentially. So I tweeted maybe until 1 o'clock in the morning or so. But then I never had mania or something like this. And of course, I appealed, and the court decided, yes, okay, they have to free you. But if you want to continue to work, you must, and you have mania as a doctor, you cannot continue to work just like this. Either you stay in the psychiatric hospital for 6 weeks to have treated your mania, or you can go and restart to work. But then you must eat Abilify, a neuroleptic. So I was force-fed a neuroleptic to may go home. This was really
How did that drug make you feel? I find this terrifying.
I didn't feel a lot, because of course they control whether I took it or not was controlled by a weekly blood check. But of course, I only took two tablets the day before the blood check. I know about half-life and all this. So I didn't feel.
And then
lot
you ate lots and lots of egg whites, lots of egg whites to bind to it. We know what to do. Oh my gosh.
Still.
This terrifies me. I'm not going to lie. Please, folks, go and read the book about Frances Farmer, the Hollywood actress from the 40s, the 30s and the 40s. Will There Be a Morning? Things haven't changed much, but she was a Hollywood actress who decided she didn't want to do it anymore. So her mum got her committed, I think, for 18 years. When I heard your story, and I find that terrifying, absolutely terrifying. I it's the one thing that really does frighten me, because the doctors, when they get to that level, you could have said anything or nothing. The decision was made before you even walked in that room. Scary.
Yes, I guess so. Yeah. Well, I think my case shows nicely what's going on. I mean, obviously, society is divided in a way we have never experienced before, and this always means that a huge part of the society is not living in reality, but caught in a context of delusion, living in a cult, in a sect. And of course, everybody says, oh, I'm the realist. You are the deluded. You are the member of the sect or the cult. And of course, in this situation, I always say we have to look whether we have to question ourselves, am I absolutely sure that I'm the realist and not the deluded? And to answer this question, we have to look at the reality as soberly as possible. So this is, was my duty. I presented the reality. And then the people can decide who is living in the reality and who is living in a virtual reality. So is insane. What does insanity mean? You live in a virtual world, not in the reality. And we see this in this Corona narrative. We see this in this CO2 scam. We see it in the Ukraine scam. I mean, I like the allegory of Plato's cave. Huh? Most people are sitting in Plato's cave, and they are looking at the wall. And on this wall, there are no longer the shadows of symbols like Platon described it, but there is a huge flat screen And on this flat screen, the legacy media project virtual realities. And the people are sitting there and looking like this, staring at this flat screen and believe everything. Although there is a way out into the sunlight. And it is our duty, once we have realized that and we are living outside Plato's cave, it is our duty to return into Plato's cave and explain to people, hey, look, there is the way out. The reality is outside. There is bright sunlight, peace. Most people are great people, peaceful people. They want only have a life in peace and somewhat stable economic conditions. What they tell you here about wars and all this bloody nonsense is fake. Come out, join us, and leave those evil idiots alone.
Well, that's why I don't own a TV. I don't watch any of that garbage. I have to hardwire. That's why you're listening to me on TNT Radio Live. I don't listen to any of it. The world is a beautiful place given to us by our Lord and Creator, and He gave us everything we need. And that collective consciousness, I mean, even the work of Dr. Emoto, I'm right there. So we're going to have a quick word from our sponsors. Don't go away, because this is the only uncensored station that you should be listening to, TNT Radio Live. And you can email me, Kate Shemarani at tntradio.live. You can tell me your medical crimes in tyrannical times. But this is really where you should be listening. We need to get out Plato's cave. Get off that big screen. Listen, I live in a cul-de-sac where they're all in the cave. Trust me. They're all in the cave except for me. And I love it. I go outside going, yay, it's a beautiful world. And we've got people like Dr. Thomas Binder. Join us after the break. And we're going to be asking him, what can we do? We want solutions. And this is a man of integrity. And I think we might have some.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
You know what's amazing about the leaders of the climate cabal? Guys like John Kerry, Joe Biden, Al Gore. They've always had a history of lying. Now, a lot of people say, well, Donald Trump lies. But Donald Trump was not in politics until about 2015. In addition, I've gone back and checked some of the positions that Donald Trump had 40 years ago, and it's remarkable. They're no different than what they are today. Well, let's take Biden. I grew up in South Jersey. Delaware wasn't too far away. So I knew who Joe Biden was. 1988, he's running for president, and he plagiarizes a British politician with a speech. And it's just one thing after another throughout his career. You know, he talks about taking people out behind the woodshed and beating them up. You know why? He probably got taken behind the woodshed, got beat up. He's not exactly the most intimidating of features. And his buddy John Kerry. That's right, the big war hero. Now, I respect anyone that served our country, especially in Vietnam. But to sit there and say you threw your medals away because you were ashamed of your country, and then you turn around and wear them all over the place, what does that tell you? It's the same kind of stuff that goes on. Al Gore criticizing George Bush about the Confederate flag in South Carolina, and yet in his home state of Tennessee, he has monuments that have been standing up and are still there to the head of the Ku Klux Klan, Nathan Bedford Forrest. In any case, Kerry has really crossed the line. Good thing he's on his way out. It's unbelievable. He is claiming that people would feel better about the Ukraine war if Russia reduced its emissions. That could be the single most stupid, ignorant, insensitive thing he said since he became climate czar. And I don't even know why we need a climate czar, since it's a phony climate war. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety, but with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
Kate Shemarani on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You are listening to me and you are in the Natural Nurse Army for TNT Radio Live. Just to let you know, folks, on Monday, if you really want to get down and dirty, although it's like OnlyFans, but the clean version, my website will be live on Monday, kateshemarani.com, kateshemarani.com. It's a cup of coffee a month to subscribe, but this is where you really get to go deep. And I deeper than anything. And I show you what I do, the former town clown, so that you can learn. There's so much information out there now on TikTok, on Instagram and everywhere. And people don't know what to do. They're being bombarded. They don't realize actually that their brain, their frontal lobe is being changed by watching this constant different things. I'm going to take it back, strip it back. And also you can join the coffee chat in the morning at 6 a.m., which is not your usual coffee chat. It's the upside down live chat where we all do a coffee enema, not on camera, folks, and we chat. So really, you know, get going. So join it. Now, we are on TNT Radio Live and we bring you uncensored. And if you know anybody who wants to sponsor TNT, please do get in touch, because that is the only thing that will keep this station going. And we bring you amazing guests like Dr. Thomas Binder. Dr. Thomas Binder is an MD. He's been a clinician. He's looked after people's health. And he was brave enough to say, this is not right. This is wrong. And they did the worst thing for me personally, and I've seen it up close and personal when I did my training. What happens when you end up in one of these institutions? It could have been a very different outcome for Dr. Binder, for telling the truth and standing in righteousness. But he's quite rightly just talked about, we're in a simulation, we're in a cave. And actually what they're playing out to you through your eyes onto your frontal lobe is not real. And so what do? Do we stay in it or do we step out into the sunshine? Please, Dr. Binder, let's for the last 15 minutes of this show, tell us what we can do, solutions. Because I think, you know, you've walked the walk, you've talked the talk. So please do, you know, this is great. What a brave man you are. Tell us what we can do.
Come on, I'm not a hero. I just did my duty. And I mean, I always say when I hear, yeah, well, you are a hero. I always say, no, I'm not a hero. I just continue to be and to think like I was and like I thought before 2020. Huh? We must just stay ourselves and not follow this the masses. So the times have never been easier to become a hero than nowadays. So everybody can become a hero nowadays. Just wake up, and do not only wake up, but also stand up. Because if you have woken up but still lying in your bed, nobody will change. You have to stand up. Well, I think we have to continue to educate the populace. My hope is that, I mean, with 9/11 and things like that, all that scam, they went after a state, after members of a religion, and so on and so forth. But now with COVID, they went after everybody. And so from the poorest who had to see that he would not starve, to the richest who could not longer freely decide when and where to play golf. So everybody was touched by these measures, insane measures. So maybe this gives the opportunity to inform more people so that more people realize that they are lied by the legacy media. And of course, the first we have to do is to throw out the TV out of the window and have to realize that we are lied to by the legacy media. I mean, the people can easily understand that the yellow press is lying. The problem are the public broadcasters, whom we are obliged to pay so that they inform us objectively. And most people still cannot believe that the BBC in England, in Switzerland, Swiss TV, all these public broadcasters are notoriously lying to them. Mm-hmm. So we have to inform the public. In this COVID scam, we have to explain to people that there was never not a pandemic in the sense of the meaning people understand it, and there was no killer virus. This virus was inflated. Imagine, it's always a good idea to walk in the shoes of your enemy. If I had the duty to plan this COVID pandemic, and if I was not suicidal, I would not release a killer virus. I would choose a relatively harmless or even no virus and inflate it into a killer virus with PR and PCR. This was done with PR and with PCR. PCR is not a test. PCR is a kind of copy machine. You can find theoretically one virus. So if, of course, I, for example, if I'm suffering from the flu now, and there is a billion of viruses in my throat, but I test only for coronaviruses, for the SARS-CoV-2, and with a hypersensitive, unspecific test like they used it, I can find theoretically the one SARS-CoV-2 virus. Then, of course, my influenza is mislabeled as COVID. And this is what happened. This we can prove. Almost nobody died from COVID, but other diagnoses were mislabeled as COVID by this nonsense RT-PCR test.
Like being run over by a bus and literally massive trauma to the body. But they say COVID. But who, you know, the one thing that I have for me personally, it is people of our profession, the profession that is there to, that has the great, you know, they've been given the greatest position of trust to care for us, all of the elderly and disabled and those that were vulnerable. And it was the caring profession, the doctors and nurses who ran the camps in Nazi Germany, the science camps. You know, one of those nurses was later found guilty of murdering, what was it, 5,000 children 35 years later. But it is those in positions of trust who have done the greatest harm. They carried on the narrative and labeled, as you said, people as COVID. Then they removed all their food, water, essential medication, and killed them with 5 to 7 times the dose of benzodiazepines and opioids. Those people like you and I in those professions went along with it, even though they knew it wasn't right, rather than stand up to it. And they're still there. They're still there. And sadly, the sheep that are misled over here, you know, we're in the big flock over here. The Lord knows he's got us. They are still falling for this propaganda. And as you said in the break, this Russian roulette of these COVID shots that they're even giving to newborn babies now. The profession that you and I are in are the ones that are entrusted and the ones that are continuing it. How do we address them?
Yeah, well, I started, we have in this part of this education, so must be that this was an RT-PCR testing pandemic. You can read an article that appeared in the New York Times in 2007 under the title "Faith in Quick Test Leads to Epidemic That Wasn't." There is an alleged pertussis epidemic described in the USA, New Hampshire, that was a total PCR testing pandemic. There nobody suffered from pertussis, although 142 tested positive. Then we must explain to the populace that pandemic, that in 2009, the WHO changed the definition of the pandemic by taking out the dangerousness of the germ, the causative germ. And since then, they can declare any seasonal flu or cold wave a pandemic. This is important. They did this in the swine flu scam in 2009 for a virus that was less dangerous than the seasonal flu, and they did it again in March 2020 for SARS-CoV-2 that was less dangerous than the seasonal flu. We have to explain all this to the populace. And with the vaccine, it starts even before these insane gene transfections. So the virus is not more dangerous than other corona cold viruses. So there is no need to vaccinate anybody. Second, we cannot effectively vaccinate against a permanently mutating virus like SARS-CoV-2 because the new vaccines always lag behind the new variants. We cannot effectively vaccinate against respiratory infections because the antibodies will not be on the mucosa and the respiratory tract, but in the blood. The only thing we might expect, if should it really work, that we could diminish somewhat serious cases with viremia where the virus spreads through the whole body. And then, of course, you cannot end a pandemic with a vaccine. A pandemic ends after three, if it is really a pandemic, it ends after 3 months with everybody either being dead or immune. Huh? And then in the next season, the new variant of the virus comes, but we are at least somewhat immune against the virus, so it will become ever less dangerous. And the development of a vaccine lasts 10 years, so you can never, ever end a pandemic with a vaccine. And then on top of that, choosing this mRNA platform, this was the apex of insanity. We inject a prodrug, this mRNA, it enters any body cell, even of the brain, even of the placenta, even of the fetus. And this produces then the spike protein in an amount and that we do not know, and for a time that we do not know. So in the 16th century, Paracelsus said it's the dose that makes a poison or not a poison. So we do not even know the individually produced spike dose. So this alone would be reason enough that these gene transfections should never have been approved. And then, of course, the cells who express and present this protein foreign to the body, this is the basic sin, that this protein is foreign to the body, will be recognized by our immune system as foreign. Our white blood cells are policing around. They see these cells carrying foreign proteins. They think this is an alien, and they attack it and destroy it. And so if you're heart cells produce it, you get myocarditis. If it's your brain cells, you get encephalitis and all that stuff. It is incredible. It starts from the lie that we have, that you have to vaccinate against the cold virus, and ends with this insane platform that we knew it could not work. And before it was approved. This approval process was a crime against humanity. And you know by now that highly likely 17 million or even more died from these injections. And there is no proof that they saved even one single life. So we have to educate the people. And of course, this is so we can explain it so easily that lay people can understand. And of course, now the authorities are afraid, because if we can reach the public, everybody realizes. So, of course, there must be more and more censorship. That's the problem. And they are coming after us. And of course, the insane,
they are,
declare us to be insane. Yeah, sorry.
No, corona insane. Dr. Binder, I just want to say, for anyone that's listening, if you go onto the TNT Radio website or onto the app and you pull up this show, it'll be up tomorrow, and you just get the last 7-8 minutes of what Dr. Binder has just said, clip it and send it to every nurse and doctor that you know. He's just literally, in a nutshell, told you from the beginning to the end, the facts, the absolute facts. Dr. Binder, where can people find you? Because you are such a brave man, but what's you know, we're all smart in the Natural Nurse Army and Natural Nurse Navy, but you have just put it in very, very simple terms. But one thing I have learned is, I'm sorry if you're offended, but I don't care. Doctors and nurses are clearly very stupid, that they couldn't look at basic things, and that the plumber down the road, the dustbin men, and I know them, even my delivery bloke and my bloke who came and emptied my clinical waste bin, they even know this better than the doctors and nurses. So it's telling you that these lot are indoctrinated. And when they go through these universities, it just stops them from how to have rational thinking. Dr. Binder, where can people get a hold of you and share your stuff?
You are perfectly right. The problem is not the so-called ordinary people. I have deepest respect from the ordinary people who realized immediately something is wrong. The problem is the academicians, who in their arrogance and ignorance cannot even have the idea to be wrong. And not only to be wrong, but to be completely wrong. This is the problem. Well, thank you. I have a website. It's a very simple website. I created it once alone. Because I had to secure the stuff that was censored everywhere. So it's Thomas Binder, Thomas Binder in one word, .ch stands for Switzerland. And I'm somewhat active in Twitter, although I was censored there from March 20th, Censor Switzerland. And I'm somewhat active in Twitter, although I was censored there from March 21 to January 2023. I have about 87,000 followers now. It's Thomas_Binder.
On Twitter. I was off Twitter for 3 years. I was chucked off for 3 years. I was thrown off everything. The truth shall prevail.
Oh, so you beat me. Here it was almost 2 years. Yeah, great. You did a great job.
Listen, you've been listening to Dr.
This is a medal of honor.
Big honor to have you. You're listening to TNT Radio Live with myself, Kate Shamrani. We've had the wonderful, courageous Dr. Binder on, a real bloke. I'm looking for a real bloke. He's in Switzerland, a bit far away. But don't go away, because you know that I like to bring you what works. And we've got the amazing Dr. Kalka, also from Switzerland, coming on next. Dr. Binder, it was a great honor and a pleasure to have you on. And I will be in touch. And for all of you that are still stupid, when you go onto his website, all you need to do is select all of the literature and just press translate, and it will turn into English. It's that simple. Don't go away. We'll be right back.